Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. I'm Charlie Gibson, and joining me now is the CEO of ADM Energy, Ossa Okomina. Ossa, very good afternoon to you. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Just tell us to begin with, would you? Just give us a flavour of what ADM is all about.
ADM is a small oil-producing company with our primary assets offshore West Africa and Nigeria. And we're currently producing roughly 300 barrels a day net production to us. And we have roughly, you know, about 60 million barrels of oil equivalent P1, P2.
And what, from the perspective of investors, what makes it an exciting investment opportunity?
I've recently taken over as the CEO about 9 months ago, and we've spent a great deal of time restructuring the company, brought a new board of directors who are industry experts. I myself have been in this business for 20 years or so. I've done many, many transactions in West Africa. Our chairman, Peter Francis, is an ex-ExxonMobil Shell man who's been involved in financing mega projects in West Africa as well. So we're a producing company, which means that we're not going to fall away. And we have revenue, we have, you know, bookable reserves, P1 and P2. And we have a veritable pipeline of opportunities that we plan to implement over the coming years. So we're a stable stock with a well-proven management team with a clear agenda.
Tell us a little bit about those opportunities. I think we probably take it for granted that, you know, the offshore Nigeria is prospective for oil. You and your colleagues on the board have clearly dyed in the wool oil men, if that's not an oxymoron. But tell us about those opportunities.
What we're doing right now is, and we announced in February, we're consolidating our position in our current field. So we're increasing our position from 5% to as much as we can buy. And then once we've achieved that, we start a phase of development, which will be anchored by our partner, Trafigura. So in the next 12 months or so, our main focus is to bed down an increase in interest in the assets, and then take the asset into the next phase of development, which will see production at the very least, once we go into the gas development a few years after. So we're pretty busy in terms of our development agenda.
Developing offshore oil, not a cheap process in the scheme of things, but, you know, by which I mean, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of US dollars. Yes. Tell us a little bit about the financing and how you expect to achieve that. And I suppose, importantly, will you need to come back to equity markets in order to put up your share of financing?
Yeah, I mean, on the development side, we're producing, which is a good start, which means that we're not seen as by bankers and investors, or if you like, debt providers, as having exploration or geological risk. Most of the financing will be done through a mixture of offtake financing, which we hope to get from Trafigura, and box standard bank debt. You know, our region is well and financed in this respect. There are lots of trading companies scrambling around to look for development assets like ours, which are fighting for expansion. So we're not too worried. We've done this many times, myself and Mr. Francis. We're not too worried about the financing for the development. And the bulk of that, I would even go as far as saying 90% of the money is needed, will come from debt financing from our syndicate of banks and the traders. And the equity portion should be quite small.
There is, we speak of crude oil as just crude oil, but of course there are light crude oils, there are heavy crude oils. What sort of crude oils are you looking for?
Okay, our current production, our current resource base is very light oil. We have, 46 API, which is equivalent, or if not lighter than Bonny Light. So it's in high demand. Our gas, which is the largest part of our resources, is very wet. We have a lot of condensate, natural gas, liquids, and LPG. So it's a light crude, and it's one that actually trades in most cases at a premium to Brent.
So is Trafigura, who you mentioned there, are they the off-taker for 100%? Do you need to worry about your end your terminal market, or is that their problem? And indeed, what is the terminal market for your product?
That's their problem. Essentially, we sell all our production typically to one trader. It makes the lifting cycle far more manageable. You know, I mean, they have a host of buyers they sell to, refiners, and so we don't worry about that. We just agree a pricing mechanism for them, and they come intermittently to lift the crude. So the whole market or the end user of our crude is something that we outsource from the trader.
We've all seen the gyrations in the oil market in recent weeks, certainly. How do you see it, and how affected are you by those sort of gyrations and that sort of volatility?
I mean, I did a couple of interviews during the height of the COVID crisis, and I said it's a blip. You know, Brent today is trading at $40, you know? And we all, when we plan our projects, we look at the forward curve, which is a better indication of where oil prices are going. And the forward curve is looking the mid-40s, early 50s. So, and don't forget that our next lot of production will come on stream about 12 months from now. So it's the forward curve that is the definitive benchmark for oil prices when we go into production, and not going to increase production sometime next year. So we're not too worried about Brent, and it's pretty good now. And I think it's stabilized at 40, and it's likely to increase as the COVID lockdowns are relieved.
A number of commentators have made the observation that under the COVID lockdowns, this is a remarkable opportunity for the world, if you like, because of the reduction in energy demand and in energy consumption during that period. This is a, I suppose, once in a generation opportunity for the world to take a major step in terms of decarbonizing their energy base. Is that something which could affect demand for your product?
You know, I always liken oil to the blood system in the human body. You know, as much as we try to find new ways of, you know, energizing the world, the use of oil, which is a very, very cheap resource, is likely to be with us for a long time. I read a statistics in The Economist about 6 months ago, where they said that, you know, we would need to invest the equivalent of $600 billion a year over a 10-year period just to get world energy needs to about 30% of non-fossil fuels. So whilst we are all mindful of the planet and we all hope for a greener tomorrow, we must confront the reality, which is that, you know, fossil fuels are cheap and they would serve as the primary source of energy for the foreseeable future. But that is not to say that we're not concerned about that. And I said earlier, our acid is primarily gassy. So we're going to see a transition as people move away from crude oil over the next, say, 15, 20 years. And there'll be increasing demand for gas, which is where we are in our market as well. So whilst we hope for the best, we think it's a bit naive to think that overnight, you know, the world could transition from a very cheap source of energy into a more expensive one in the short term. Although we are all hopeful that agenda will be achieved in future generations.
And what is the attitude towards oil from sort of local Nigerians? I'm thinking those particularly, I suppose, more onshore than offshore, but in the Delta there. There have at various points in the past that there has been opposition to the oil industry generally. What is the feeling at the moment of those people towards the industry?
First and foremost, our oil field is nowhere in the Delta. We are offshore Lagos, more near the Benin margin, which is near Ghana and Togo. So we're not in the Delta. So we're not exposed to the socio-political issues that have ended some development in Delta. But essentially, it's a socio-economic problem. And it's a demand by the indigenes for oil companies and the national government to invest more in local infrastructure. So it's not as if they don't want the nation to produce oil. They want more equitable distribution in the oil wealth. But like I said before, it's not something that affects us, considering the region we are in. And we're, in fact, we're the first time Nigeria has produced oil outside Niger Delta. So we are innovative and, you know, if you like, champions of a new oil province in Nigeria.
And what about the situation with regard to the lockdowns in Nigeria at the moment? Can you just tell us how Nigeria is coping with the coronavirus and how it might affect your plans going forward?
You know, most of our energy or crude oil is exported anyway. So we're not really exposed to the domestic market. Now, in terms of the COVID crisis, you know, there has been a temporary lockdown. They're slowly opening up the economy. But the issue of local demand is not something that affects our economics, you know, even though we're mindful of the issues. And most of our production is done offshore on an FPSO, which is like a ship moored, you know, 30 kilometers away from the coastline. So, and we chop in our management teams in and out. So we're not really affected operationally, and we're not affected in terms of our markets.
What about internally? I mean, I'm sure that you have a shift system for getting your workers deployed out to the rigs and then back to land again, and also management having to come out and access the assets. Has that at all been affected by the coronavirus?
Not really. I mean, we have helicopters that shuttle staff from the vessel back on shore. We have a COVID testing system. We test them regularly on the vessel. We test the crew before they get on the vessel. So we've had no incident at all. And we don't expect any in the foreseeable future because it's a very well-structured testing regime that we effect.
So in terms of milestones, what are the next milestones that investors need to look for? And where would you hope the company would be in, let's say, 3 years' time?
Oh, we're very ambitious. Right now, I can't be too specific, as you imagine. We have transactions that we've matured that in time the market will become aware of. We have major cost restructuring going on the asset level. In terms of what will be in 3 years' time, we hope to be a company that will be producing significantly more than we have today. We hope that our resource base will be better valued. You know, right now, we're valued at 20-30p per barrel of oil equivalent 2p, which is a gross understatement considering that, you know, offshore oil is worth, you know, 10-20 times much more. So we are hopeful that the market will come to understand new management team, come to have more faith and confidence in us, and that our share price would mirror that renewed confidence and expansion in our production and operating base.
Also, we wish you the very best of luck, ladies and gentlemen. That was Osa Okamina, Chief Executive of ADM Energy. You could have bought ADM shares at just shy of tuppence in April. They're about 2.5p now. So, as the Americans say, you do the math. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for on this occasion on Share Talk. I'm Charlie Gibson signing off. We'll be hoping to bring you more such investment opportunities in the very near future. Until then, you have a very capital day.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.